Okay. Can you bump that down just a little bit, Becky? Thank you very much. Guys, we are indeed pleased to have Maddie and Ansley are both going to sing for us today. So without further ado, let's give Maddie a nice round of applause. And then Ansley's coming up.
Yeah. Watch out. He did. He pushed me.
I'm sorry.
Gosh.
From the cold.
corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name. Show me the love. I say I believe. Oh, help me.
So much. Those are two beautiful songs, actually. What a great message they have, too, if you listen to the words of them. I especially, who sings that song you sang, Maddie? Okay. Amen. I don't know if I've heard that one, but I really like it. I love both of them, actually. So, well, it's good to see everybody this morning.
Amen.
Y'all glad to be here today?
Amen.
Glad to be above ground. Amen.
Amen.
All right, it's always a good thing when you're above ground. Amen. Sometimes we feel like we might not be too far above ground, but we are. So I praise the Lord for that. I want to talk to you today on the topic of going where the people are. We're going to talk about going out today. It's a sermon that kind of focuses about a Great Commission work. If you did not get an insert with the sermon notes, we brought them around to the Sunday school classes. If you need one, we got them up here. If you'll just raise your hand, we'll be sure and get you one. Does anybody need any before we start? Yes, we got a couple. Would y'all mind running them back there? If you just hold your hand up, we'll be sure y'all get one. We appreciate you doing that for me. Thank you very much. And guys, I want to remind you while he's passing those out, next Sunday, huge event here at our church, the 200 year anniversary of this building, holding church services in this building. Should be a great time of celebration. We want to invite you to come and be a part of that. It's going to be a great time. So we're looking forward to it. We're praying we'll have favorable weather. But one way or another, we're going to have this celebration. So we want to encourage everybody to come and be a part of that. So we're just really excited. We thank the committee for all the hard work they've done and everyone else that's been involved. It's going to be a truly great event. And a once-in-a-lifetime event, I might add. We will not be here for the next 200-year anniversary. But hey, if the Lord tarries, some group will, hopefully, still be meeting here in this structure. If not, at least this structure will still be here in sound. So we're hoping for that. Guys, you know what? There's an increasing trend in the world today for people to be spending a lot of money to build these underground bunkers. Any of y'all ever watch that show, Doomsday Preppers? Anybody ever see that? Where these people go and they build these elaborate underground bunkers so that if we happen to have this nuclear attack or whatever, that they can go down in there and be safe and actually be able to stay there for years if they have to. Some people are building them in preparation for the tribulation, if the tribulation were to begin. And they're still alive at that point in time, they can enter into this structure and not have to come out again until the Lord comes back even. So some people are spending a lot of money on this, and some of them even investing millions of dollars on these underground homes. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with the desire for safety, stability, and comfort. But guys, here's what my concern is. These are good desires, but if they get incorporated into a church, they can be counterproductive to the church's mission. They can be counterproductive to the church's mission. In other words, we cannot have a bunker mentality in the church. We can't go and hide out underground and just let everything else take place around us. That's what I want to talk to us today about, going out. Do you realize that Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and what? Make disciples of all nations. That means we're to go out and we're to spread the gospel. We're not to go crawl in some bunker underground and just hide out for the rest of our spiritual life. We've got to go and take the word there. Though most churches in America, guys, we don't close our doors to outsiders, most churches. They still may have that bunker mentality and not even realize it. They stay safe and warm on their own church property. They welcome people into the church, and you know, if the people come, they will get involved with them. They may even make their guests feel welcome if they do come to church. But guys, it's an unfortunate fact, however, that most people don't come to the church building of their own free will and accord. That's a fact. I mean, most of the time when someone comes into a church, it's not because they just one day this light went off and said, I'm going to go to Bethesda Baptist or I'm going to go to whatever church. It's because someone took the time to invite them to come. It's because someone took the time to reach out to them and tell them some things about the church. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen where people just spontaneously show up to church. It would be nice if they did, wouldn't it? We'd be able to minister to them and not even have to worry about going out and getting. But listen, would Jesus have needed to give us the Great Commission if that's the way we're going to be? If all we had to do is just open our doors up and say, hey, come on in, and everybody came in, Jesus would not have had to commission his disciples to do that. But he knew that, hey, we've got to go and we've got to make disciples of all nations. We've got to get up and we've got to physically go outside the walls of the church to reach out into this lost and dying world we live in. You do realize we're in a lost and dying world, right? You do realize that this world is spiraling out of control. But guess what? God's still in control of it. Amen. God has always been in control of this earth. And even though it seems out of control to us, God's still got a plan. He's still got things moving in the direction he wants them to move. We got to realize that, and we cannot get frustrated by all the terrible things that are going around us. Our job is to go and be missionaries. Now you might say, well, preacher, I don't want to go to a foreign country. Look, there's enough work right here in Greene County to keep us busy the rest of our lives if we really get serious about mission work. We don't have to go outside of the state of Georgia. We don't have to go outside the country. It's right here and ready to go. You see, we need to come out of our church bunker, guys, and go where the people are and extend the invitation to come. We got to extend the invitation to come. We can't just simply sit back and think that Bethesda Baptist Church is going to be here 200 more years from now if I don't do anything. How many of you believe this church will be here if we don't do anything in 200 years? This building may be here, but Bethesda Baptist Church as we know it will not be here. How did you all get started here? Some of you may have been born into this church. How many people were born into Bethesda Baptist here? Raise your hand. That's a good little number of people. That's good. So see, you had a start here already. How many of you, though, came because someone invited you to come and you came and tried it out and that's where you ended up now? Raise your hand. Look at the hands that are up here, guys. You see what I'm talking about? We've got to go and extend the invitation out into the world. Not all of us were born here in this church and just came up in it and grew up in it. Most of us here came because someone invited us and we came and we like the spirit of this church here. And that's why we're here. But the average person is not going to just show up here and just we expect them to just come in and become members here. It'd be great if they do, and I hope and pray there'll be some that come and do that. But guys, the reality of it is, we must go to the people. We've got to go to the people. You see, Paul never had this bunker mentality, guys. His entire life was devoted to going out and reaching people. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, I have become some things to all men so that I might reach whoever I can. In other words, here's Paul's mentality. Okay, if I have to dress a little differently to reach this group of people, I'm going to do that. Which is why we should never be concerned about what someone wears to church. As long as it's okay and it's not, you know, degrading or whatever, we shouldn't get all caught up in that. Because in order to reach certain people, we're going to have to learn to accept that. Some churches are like, well, you must wear a shirt and tie and blah, blah, blah. Listen, you're going to miss out on a whole group of people that could be ministered to because of that. So we got to understand these things. Paul understood it. Paul got it. He understood, I've got to adapt who I am sometimes. Not adapt the message. Now, I want you to understand this. The message does not change. But we can change how we present the message. Amen? We can change how we present the message. We don't have to change who we are in Christ. You should never compromise that. And Paul never did that. He presented his message differently from time to time because he adapted his message to fit his audience. Guys, let me tell you something. If I was preaching a message or sharing the gospel with a group of children, I could not present that message like I could to a group of adults. I could not get in depth with understanding that their mind is not physically capable of understanding. Paul recognized this. Paul recognized cultures. If I go into a culture of people that don't believe in eating meat, then I need to not eat meat if I want to reach them, and I go to their house and they invite me over to dinner. Now trust me, I like meat, amen? I'm a carnivore, well I'm an omnivore, amen? Everybody know what that is? I like both meat and vegetables. I told some of y'all the story, I think in prayer meeting the time, about my second grade teacher. Some of you weren't in there, so I'm going to tell it again real quick. Okay? My second grade teacher took me and her daughter one time. You know, that's how it used to be when, back then in school. You know, your teachers would take you over to the house sometimes and feed you. Now, if that happens nowadays, people think, oh my God, she's a pedophile. You know? I mean, let's be honest. Okay, but back then, that was okay. Parents felt comfortable with the teachers, you know, taking the kids over and doing things with them. But anyhow, I went with them one day. And we went to this lady's house. And she said, we're going to go eat lunch with Miss So-and-so. I don't even remember who she was. But all I know is when I went in that house and sat down at that table, there was not a piece of meat to be found. There was nothing but vegetables laid out on that table. And I sat there and I went, I didn't say a word because I knew to be respectful to my teacher. I wasn't going to dare say, I can't eat here. I don't have any meat. I just sat there and I think I've had a few beads of sweat pop up on my head. I'm like, I'm going to throw up in just a minute. I like vegetables, but I can't eat them without meat. But anyhow, somehow I forked all that stuff down and I kept it down. And when we left, her name was Miss Brantley. I made Miss Brantley feel so good and thanked her so much for taking me to this woman's house. That was the most torturous meal I've ever eaten. Amen. That was the most trying and taxing meal I ever had. But see, I had to adapt to that circumstance. I couldn't just get up and run out of the house screaming, I can't stand it without meat. You know, I couldn't go out and do it. I had to adapt to that moment in time. And guys, that's what Paul is talking about here. He had to adapt to the audience he was presenting the message to. He couldn't do things that they weren't accustomed to and expect to reach them. We can't expect to reach a generation of people who dress differently than us if we don't allow them to come into our church building with that kind of clothing. Okay, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm just talking about we can't get caught up in the physicality of reaching people. If we get caught up in that, we're going to miss out on generations of people, and the message is not going to be brought to them properly. Guys, we've got to be thinking about that. Okay, Paul's core philosophy remained the same. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go to where they are. Paul was prepared to share the gospel at any moment, anywhere, anytime. He didn't care. He was prepared in season, out of season, all seasons. And guys, that's the way we should be. Amen. How many believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's the way we should be. We should be prepared in all seasons to share the gospel with whomever we need to. Let's look at some things, guys, that may keep us from having that Paul-like mentality about sharing the gospel. Because let's be honest here. We sometimes are people of excuses, right? We have excuses for things. Except when it comes to doing what we want to do, then we don't make excuses, do we? But when it comes to serving Jesus, sometimes we come up with a lot of excuses as to why we're not capable of doing what God's already told us we can do. And that's go and share the gospel. Let's look at these things real quick. I got three of them listed here, I believe. So let's take a look at these. The first one is this. One of the most dangerous enemies of our passion in evangelism is prosperity. Prosperity. Guys, prosperity inevitably makes us feel comfortable where we are. And the more comfortable we feel, the more hesitant we are to do anything that might disrupt that sense of comfort. Prosperity brings that. Prosperity gets us into a mode of, okay, I've got all this now. I'm content. I don't need to do anything else. You know what? I'm glad that I'm still yearning for things. I'm glad I'm still wanting to learn more about God and get more of God inside of me. I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion prospering to the point that I don't need to stay in the Word, that I don't need to be in fellowship with God. But you see, for some people, prosperity can bring that. The temptation here is to simply keep the status quo. Guys, we used to have a banner when I first came here a few years after that. We had a banner across the back of the room. It said, the status quo must go. I like that theme. You know why? It's not saying that things that we do here at this church are wrong. It's just saying that we cannot get in a comfort zone to the point where we're not willing to adapt. Where we're not willing to accept things and accept people of all nations and everything here. That is what I mean by getting into a situation where you want to have the status quo remain for the rest of your life. Guys, that's why churches are shutting their doors right now every day. There are more and more churches going on the market because churches would not accept anything but the status quo. They weren't willing to change. They weren't willing to do like Paul clearly says in his word right here in the book of Acts chapter 16. That we are to go and make disciples of all nations. We're to go and adapt. We're to be that kind of person. And I know what you're thinking. I didn't have a stand up read the scripture. I'm going to do it at the end. Amen. I had forgot about it. Okay. We're going to read it here in just a minute. But guys, listen to me. That is exactly what Paul's talking about right here. The second thing is this. Another hindrance to sharing the gospel is busyness. Busy word. Busyness. Okay? Reaching people with the gospel is going to take time, guys. As we're all aware, most of us don't have enough time in the society in which we live, right? Our day is taken up with so many things. Do we have time to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel? Will we make time to reach out to people who are in need? Are we going to adjust our schedule, or are we simply going to keep going out our life doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it, guys? If you want to reach this lost and dying world we're in, we got to go to the people, and we got to make time to make it happen. Yeah, that means we may have to readjust this appointment. We may have to readjust going here or there for a little bit so that we can do kingdom work. Amen? Kingdom work is what's important. When we share our faith, guys, it's not always going to be a one-time conversation. We may need multiple conversations with these people in order to get across to them what they need to know. So it's going to take time. I bet some of you can share this story with us. When you got saved, you didn't just immediately, after somebody talked to you one time about it, just the light went off and you went running down the aisle and you professed Jesus as your Savior. A lot of that had to happen through hours and days and months of people talking to you and encouraging you. So you see, it's not always a one-time conversation, guys. You have to invest some time. The third thing is this. A final obstacle to our passion and perseverance in evangelism is simply this: not having enough faith. Not having enough faith. I preach on faith a lot of times here. Faith the size of a mustard seed is the kind of faith God's looking for. It doesn't take a tremendous amount of faith. Just have a little bit. Believe God is who He is, and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Believe the promises God gives us in His Word. Amen. How many of you believe the promises God has in His Word? Amen. Then guys, let's put them in action. Let's trust God. Let's have the faith that He's going to keep these promises if we do what He says we need to do in order for Him to keep them. Why don't we test God and say, hey, you know what, God? I believe this. Now I'm going to really do it. And I'm going to prove to myself that what you're saying is true here. God can accept that. Do we really believe that the gospel of Christ has power to change lives? Do you believe that sharing the gospel with someone can change their life forever? Or do you simply think, oh, I need to check it off my bucket list because the preacher said I need to share the gospel. So I'm just going to invite somebody to church and that's sharing the gospel with them. Or I'm going to tell them I know this person named Jesus and they ought to know Him too. And that's going to be able to let me check that off my list. No, guys, when you share the gospel with someone, you must connect at that level with them. You can't be way up here and you can't be too low for them. You got to connect with them where they are. See, that's what Paul recognized. He said, I've got to connect with these people where they are right now. And in whatever circumstance they're in. You can't wait till someone gets whole again if they're broken to witness to them. What better chance do you have right there when God has broken them than for you to step in and say, hey, I know somebody can help you. I know somebody that can fix you. I know somebody that can pick you up out of these ashes and raise you back up into a whole new life again. That's when you take that opportunity, guys. Some of you may know somebody like that needs you to reach out to them right now. I want to encourage you to do that. Guys, it may be that due to our lack of faith, that's why we have trouble sharing the gospel with others. We don't really believe in our heart that it's going to make a difference, so we don't bother. What are we to do, folks? Is it our job to move in that person's life and move them to a relationship with Jesus? No. Our job is to what? Sow the seed. God will grow that seed and germinate it and make it take root. God's looking for us to sow it. How? By telling them about Jesus, by inviting them to come to church, by living our lives so that when they look at us, they say, hey man, he's got it together. She's got it together. I want some of that. I want that joy, just like we talked about at the church at Thessalonica last week. How much joy they had and how many people wanted a part of that joy. Guys, if you're living your life for the Lord and they see a difference in you, people are going to want that. They're going to want to know why you're happy and joyful like that. Guys, Jesus has given us a clear command to go into the world and share the gospel. But guys, in order to do that, we got to have a spirit of awareness. I think that's one of the problems we have sometimes. We're just not aware of what's going on around us. We got to be ready at any moment to share the gospel. And I believe that in order to maintain this level of awareness, that we need to look at a couple of things. We need to know a couple of truths here. So let's look at some real quick. Number one, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming back, whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not. Jesus is coming back to take His bride one day. His bride, the church, those who are born again believers in Him are going to be, if they're still alive at that time, they're going to be caught up in the air to meet with Jesus. That's what I'm living for, amen. Y'all excited this morning? Amen. That's what I'm living for. I'm living for that day. Will it be in my lifetime? I don't know. Only God knows that. But I'm prepared if it is. And I'll be as excited then as I will be when I take my last breath and cross over into glory then. It doesn't matter when. Just know that Jesus is coming back. And Jesus did a lot of teaching on this topic in His Word. He gave the people a lot of hints about His second coming. But do you think a lot of them paid attention to it and listened to Him? No, half of them didn't even understand what He was talking about. And He made it very clear because a lot of it He told in parables that were very easy to understand. The second thing is this. We got to be aware of all the opportunities there are around us. Do you realize how many opportunities we pass up each and every day? Opportunities to witness to somebody. Opportunities to reach out to someone who's hurting. Opportunities to reach out to someone who is in need that we can help them. Maybe physically help them. Materially help them. And we pass up those opportunities. Guys, that's what we as believers are all about. We should share what we have with the world and not be selfish about it, not be self-centered about it. We got to be aware of those opportunities. You know what? Right now, God is preparing you next week for an opportunity to do something good for somebody. How many of you believe that? God's preparing you right now today for something you need to do next week for somebody. The question is, are you going to recognize that opportunity? Are you going to be aware when that opportunity comes? Or are you just simply going to, well, I just don't have time today. God, I promise you I'll do it tomorrow. How many times have we said that to God? God, I promise you I'll do that. I just can't do it today. God, I promise you I'll get around to that. I just can't get around to it today. Well, guys, we better start making time for God. Amen. We better start making some time in our schedule for God. Because you know what? He made time for us when He sent a part of Himself to this earth in a man named Jesus. Amen. And if we expect Him to do the same for us, we need to be willing to do it for Him. We need to be willing to. The third thing is this. We can tend to drift off course. I need everybody to listen to me when I say this now. It's just like a ship, a boat. When you put it in a lake and you don't anchor it, what does that boat do? It floats all over the place. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you realize this. I don't know if you're aware of this, guys. But no one drifts toward Jesus. We don't drift toward Jesus. We can't just put our life on autopilot and stay drifting in the direction of Jesus. No, it takes training. It takes renewing your mind. It takes getting in God's Word. It takes prayer to stay in the right direction when Jesus is there and where Jesus is. If we get out of fellowship with God, if we get out of the Word, guess what's going to happen? Here's our boat. While we're focused on God, we're traveling here. As soon as we get out of fellowship with Him, here's our boat. We just start drifting over here. Now we're on this path. Now we're on this course, heading this way. Or we drift over here to the left, and now our boat is heading that way. None of which are in the direction of Jesus. So you see, if we're not careful, we're going to drift off course. We got to actively and alertly fight this drift. You got to fight against this drift. How do you get a boat back turned in the right direction? You paddle like crazy, right? That's what you better be doing in your life, guys. If you've gotten out of fellowship with God, you better be paddling yourself back in that right direction. And guess what? Jesus is there. Jesus hadn't gone anywhere. I want you to understand that. People are like, oh, Jesus, you forgot about me. No, He hadn't. You forgot about Him. He hadn't forgot about you. He's been there. You're the one that got your boat headed in the wrong direction. But guess what? He's always there when you get it right back lined up again to meet you right there, isn't He? He's always there. He'll always be there. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But just remember this, guys. We will always tend to drift away from our original position with Jesus if we do not stay focused on the gospel. You're going to drift away. It's a natural thing. It happens. You can't prevent it. The way you stop it from happening, you stay in tune with God. You walk with Him daily. You get in His Word. You forgive people when they've wronged you. You love people despite who they are. You do all the things that Jesus teaches us to do. And your ship will stay on course. But if you don't, it's going to drift. Guys, in closing today, I want us to look at our text. I brought this up at the end because I wanted to make some points ahead of time today, and I know this is a little unusual. I'm going to ask, if you will, at this time, as we get ready to close, stand to your feet. We're going to read some verses here in God's Word today. In chapter 16 in the book of Acts. We're going to look at some verses here today, verses primarily 11 through 15. I want to focus on those real quick. Acts chapter 16, 11 through 15. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You can be seated, folks. Listen, what is that story saying? What is that story saying here? Guys, we learned some key things about this, sharing this gospel here. First of all, here's this woman, Lydia, who is a seller of fine purple cloth. Purple cloth was a very rich commodity back in that day. It was a very important commodity. This woman came and she heard Jesus. Jesus was talking to a group of women here. But guys, I want you to get a few key things and I'm done today. First of all, sharing Jesus requires a verbal testimony. Jesus verbally shared with these women about salvation, about serving Him. He opened His mouth. Guys, I've heard people say, well, my life is a testimony. No, it isn't if you're not willing to tell anybody about it. It's not a testimony. Yeah, people see you and they see you do good things, but hey, there are a lot of atheists who do good things in the world, right? There are a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus that do great things and they're very philanthropic. They go out and give to all these charities, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know how to say anything about Him. So guys, you must be willing to give a verbal testimony. Sharing the gospel doesn't require that our lives show it, but we must always speak if we're to be effective witnesses. But I encourage you to let your light shine before men, meaning let your life be so that they recognize you're a believer. But you still got to be willing to say something. Well, preacher, I don't know a lot of Bible verses that go along with it. Well, okay. Neither does about 80 or 90% of the rest of born-again believers who witness to someone. Tell him what He's done for you. Tell him how He made a difference in your life. Tell her how He made a difference in your life. Guys, you don't have to be an elaborate Bible scholar to share with someone. Just tell him what He's done for you. That'll be good enough. Number two, when someone's responding to Christ, it always requires the work of God to bring them into that confession of their sin. You can't do that. Guys, avoid saying this. I saved somebody the other day. No, you didn't. God saved them. Because God brought the circumstance into their life that led them into repentance and led them down that aisle. You didn't do that. Don't take credit for what God's done. And I know some people make a mistake by saying they're not really meaning any harm by it. But guys, never get in the habit of when you lead somebody to the Lord saying, oh, I saved them the other day. No, what you need to say is, I had a great experience, man. I helped lead somebody to the Lord. That's completely acceptable to tell people that. So you see, guys, God's going to have to move in that person's life when they respond to the call for salvation. You plant the seed, God plants the circumstance. And when they come together, that person's going to come to know the Lord. There's no doubt about it. We're the sowers, but God makes the seeds that we sow take root. And then the third and final thing is this. Anytime we share Christ, it's going to produce ripples. There's going to be a ripple effect. When you share Jesus, in this passage of Scripture right here, what did Lydia do? She didn't just let her experience be by herself. No, she went back, her whole household got baptized. You know why? Because the ripple effect began as soon as she came to know Jesus. And that's the way it should be. Guys, oftentimes we'll see others in households who see the light and changes in us, and they become believers too. That's the ripple effect. That's what you want. That's ultimately what you want when you get saved. You want other people to want what you got. Amen. Are y'all awake? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, man. I don't know. Some of y'all had a long night last night. Y'all been partying or what? Amen. All right. Hey, we're almost done. I promise you. We're just about out of here. Guys, we should be movers and shakers for the kingdom. Everybody. It's not the work of the preacher only to go out and share the gospel. We're all commissioned to be missionaries of the word. If we hadn't have been, then he would have had to rewrite that scripture to say, preachers, go and share the gospel to all nations. No, he said, addressing to everyone there, go and make disciples of all nations. Meaning, everyone here, go and do it. I want us to go out into the world with the gospel and adapt so that we can reach all people, guys. We must go where the people are. And we must be willing to adapt to where the people are at that time. I'm not saying change your philosophy on Jesus. I'm saying change your way of thinking about how you're going to reach someone. That's what I'm talking about. And guys, we should never change the message. But we should always let the message change us. Amen. We shouldn't change the message, but we should certainly let the message change us. Guys, let's be those movers and shakers. Let's go outside the walls of this church and let's not be ashamed to go and share the gospel with people. And guys, guess what? It's okay if your ship got off course. Paddle it back and get in the right direction with Jesus. He'll accept you right back. If you've got things that are left unconfessed, come here to this altar, confess them. Guess what? Get back on that course right now today. I want to encourage you to come up here and pray. Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe there's somebody in your family that really needs to get their boat headed in the right direction. Maybe there's some things in our life that we've got out of control, like we're not reading God's word like we should, or we're not having prayer time. We're not making time for God like we should. We still know He's in our heart and we're still saved, but there's something missing. I want to encourage you to come and pray for that up here today. But guys, ultimately, we've got a job. And in case you haven't noticed it, this world is a cruel place. People are getting killed every day. Do they know Jesus? Did someone witness to them? Did someone make a difference in their life by sharing the gospel of Christ to them? We'll never know, except for maybe their family. I oftentimes wonder that when I hear these tragic killings and all this terrible stuff in the world. Did those people know Jesus? Because if they didn't, it's too late. There'll never be another opportunity once you take your last breath, guys. You got to make sure you're right in this world. You don't get a second chance after you've died. Because you've heard the gospel. You know the truth. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man shall come unto Him but through Jesus. Guys, don't let it be too late in your life. Get your ship headed in the right direction today. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for each and every person here. I just pray, God, that what we've done today has been pleasing in Your sight. I thank You for the great songs that were sung today and the music we had. And the Lord, I just pray that the Word was brought in a way that was pleasing and understandable to those that it was brought to. And God, I just pray now that if anyone needs to come up here and pray at this altar, they will. And Lord, that we'll just lift each other up and we'll just love one another and be willing to go out and share this great message that You've given to us, Father. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Megan?
Hymn 626.
626. Let's stand and sing hymn 626.
ahead. Just got a couple of things we need to go over. I want to let you know that the flower placed here today in church is given by Miss Faye Worthen and Miss Betty Griffith in loving memory of their mother, Miss Vashti Taylor Worthen. And we really appreciate them doing that today. Birthdays for this upcoming week, Al Griffith on the 8th, Ann Roden on the 8th, and Tony Fowler on the 9th. So we want to wish them all a very happy birthday. Want to encourage everyone to come back again tonight. Now, we're not doing our normal family night fellowship. We're having a normal service tonight due to the fact that we're going to have our big celebration next week. We're going to continue in our Welcome Home study series, so please read up on the next chapter, which I believe is Authentic Joy. Is that right? I believe that's what it is. So read up on that and come back tonight at 6. Also, our youth will meet tonight at 6. We want to encourage you to come back and be a part of that as well. Also, Wednesday night, our midweek prayer service, we will meet on Wednesday night for that. If you have particular prayer requests, if you'll write them down, put them in the containers in the back. We would love to pray for them by name and by need if you are willing to share that with us as well. Brother Donald, you got an announcement for us?
I got a couple. As everyone knows, next week we're going to be having a 200-year celebration. We appreciate everybody that's helped with this, put this thing together so far, but right now we need to concentrate on the upcoming week. We're going to have a lot of activity going on. Friday, Ricky Fields is going to be bringing the tent down. We're going to be laying it out in the parking lot, letting it dry out a little bit, possibly clean it a little bit. Saturday morning, we'll be needing to do another work day out here. We're going to need all the help we can as far as getting this tent set up. It'll take several of us to do it. We'll be here around 9 a.m. Sunday morning, I believe the time frame for everybody to start coming in is around 8 a.m. because we've got a lot of work going on out in the kitchen. The ladies are getting prepared and everything. So if you want to help with that, that's what time we're going to start showing up. Joe, do you know what time you want the individuals to be showing up to help do the parking?
9:30.
Somewhere around 9:30, we need people to start showing up to help so we can start parking.
Those are going to help on that. Give me a call on the
front
meeting Tuesday in Greensboro.
Okay.
Do it up close to the town. Most
everybody's
up there. Probably 30 minutes is all
it'll
take.
Okay, Joe just requested that if you want to participate, give him a call so he can set up a meeting Tuesday at some time until they meet over in Greensboro.
Probably doing it at the fire station in Greensboro.
That's fire. Looks like a fire station in Greensboro. Sunday morning when we start coming in, we're going to ask some people going to help out here. We'll try to park in this area over here so that we'll leave open the parking areas for visitors so we can get the cars parked appropriately. Also, the greeters, if you would, you're going to be part of the greeting. People that's going to greet everybody. Start showing up somewhere around 9:45. That way we can start being here for visitors to show up, and if they want to walk through and look at the church or talk with somebody about the history or whatever. And from there, we'll proceed to go from that time frame. We are going to set up a parking area up here, I believe also, if I understood correctly from Joe, for people that's got the handicap vehicles. That will be running along the paved road coming into the church. So please, if it's going to be lined out or lined off, follow those directions when they give them to you and try to leave those open so we'll have places to park people with handicap. And this afternoon at 5 o'clock, they can be meeting. And as of right now, I think that's about all I have to say. I think I've said enough already.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Yes, speaking to me tonight at 5, mistake. WMU tomorrow night, 6:30. So we want to remind everybody about that. Any other announcements? Yes, Miss Ann?
Please mark your tee if it's straight up unsweet.
Yes. There's nothing worse than to think you're pouring a glass of sweet tea and you take that first drink and you're like, "Ooh!" You know how that is. So please mark your tee as sweet or unsweet.
week. And let me remind you all of these on the back here, too. We're asking each family to bring 2 gallons of tea. You can mark it sweet, unsweet. Please do that. And the dessert sign-up sheet on the back table, and then the fellowship hall. Be sure you've signed up on one of those two sheets as to what you're going to bring. Yeah. So they're both there? Okay, so both sign-up sheets are up here now. If you haven't signed up, please do that. Couple other things in the future. November 16th at 6:30 p.m., we're going to pack boxes for Operation Christmas Child. November 18th at 6, the Let Them See You tour at First Baptist Greensboro featuring some really good singers. There's going to be a kind of a singing over there. You can see Becky or tickets by phone.
One of them is that guy that sings that song, Let Them See Him and You.
Okay.
J.J.
Weeks. J.J. Weeks, yes. Okay, so there's going to be some pretty good named people over there, so we'll certainly be reminding us about that as the days go on. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
Sorry, if you want to lie, if you're parking with this side of the church, we're going to unlock each door. We'll have the door unlocked on the end of the kitchen so you don't have to walk all the way around in front of the church. But we do have access coming in from the facility from that side.
All right.
Yes. Like, what day is it that the boxes are due? I didn't write that down, obviously.
The
16th, so the 16th of Friday, so the 19th? Yeah, the 19th. Okay.
That Sunday is when I pick them up, so now here is on that Sunday.
Oh, so really the
18th.
All the boxes are due on 18th.
And one other thing I wanted to mention too is we're going to set a large step out line. We try to do it at least once a year for our homeless ministry. If you guys would start bringing in like just personal items, toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand warmers, hand sanitizer, Kleenex, that kind of stuff, any kind of toiletry items, soap, deodorant, razor, shaving cream. We took a huge step of that last year around this time. And it was greatly appreciated. We're going to collect that through the month of November. So if you'll just start bringing your items in, I'm going to bring that container tonight. I won't put it out until after. I tell you what I'll do. I'll put it in Brother James' Sunday school class maybe for right now, kind of on the floor. If you want to start bringing it in now, you can. But after our celebration time, we'll have it out in the fellowship hall where you can get to it. So let's try to fill that thing up again, especially that it's getting colder and everything. So if we could do that, that would be super. I appreciate everybody participating in that ministry as well. Other announcements, Brother Jimmy?
Chris and I have been married 57 years today.
57 years today. We'll have a sainthood ceremony tonight in Hampton. We'll do that tonight in the evening service. Amen. All right. Wow. 57 years. That's great. Great. Congratulations. Yes.
Our choir will meet this evening at 5 o'clock
to
practice.
Choir will meet at 5 o'clock this evening, followed by our evening service at 6. So if y'all can, Miss Ann.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. That's
all right.
If you get here before our men are here to direct traffic and help you park in any way, please leave room that our guy that is bringing our food can please get in here with food.
Yes, we've got to have a passageway for him to get around to bring the food, so please don't block all that area off over there, okay? We need a little aisleway there. All right, anybody else?
I have one thing to say.
Yes.
The path is going to be marked, the path going down to the baptismal pool, it'll be marked, so just be careful of that too, because it's going to be on the ground. But there will be a path marked off so people can go down there to see that.
Okay.
And I have a praise, and we just need to keep praying for this, that right now it's supposed to be sunny and very pretty next Sunday.
Amen. So, all right. Any other announcements? Okay.
You want to read?
Oh, yes. Let me mention that. We got three of our guys here that play on our football team in high school. We won the region championship Friday night. So let's do that. Come on, guys. Stand up. All right. Okay, and I think Josh, the week before last, got lineman of the week. to, so that was quite an honor. But anyhow, we will be playing the state playoffs. We have a bye this coming week, and we won't know where our opponent is until after this Friday. But it'll be a home game, so if you like football, come out and join us and support us there. We really appreciate the hard work these young men have done. Any other announcements? Okay. Please don't. We hungry now. We got to come out of here. Well, hey, save some for next Sunday. Okay? We can't cover everything in 1 week. Amen. Just kidding. Y'all got one. All right. If not, I'm going to stand on your feet. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us from our service today.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. You know, many blessings to all of us. Just thank you.